Welcome to Where We Belong, a podcast exploring all that Cavan heritage has to offer. Rural towns across Cavan have been changing as the generations pass. Today, Savina Donoghue caught up with the recently retired Barney Cully of Cully's Bakery Arva to chat about his observations on the changing face of rural Ireland as he reflects on a life in the bread baking business. So, sit back, relax, and spend some quality time with Cavan and its people.
Well, good afternoon, Barney. It's lovely to have you in here with us today. And I just want to talk a little bit. I know you've been in business in Arva all your life, or you were born in Arva. Well, you can just tell us a little bit about your childhood.
Born on the main street, Savina in Arva. It's nice to be in here with you. Born on the main street of Arva and have been there. I spent 5 months in Dublin. Okay. And the rest of my time was spent in Arva. I was after my uncle was only 52 when he died, and I was coming up to do the leaving cert at the time.
Yes.
And his wife asked me would I like to get involved in the business. So when I had the leaving done on a Wednesday, I was straight into the bakery on Sunday night at 3 o'clock.
So the bakery was already established. My uncle built it.
I think, as far as I know, anyway, we were wholesale grocer. Okay. And part of that was an agency with Spicer from Trim. Spicer's had four bakeries: Trim, Navan, Chels, and Balbriggan.
Yes.
And the bread used to come down in wicker baskets down to Arva Road Station, which is beside George Chatterley's house. Do you know where that is?
I do.
And there's a little station in there, and they would be brought in then in pony and cart or van or whatever it was, and then sent out on the vans the next day. So then eventually, there's a letter somewhere at home, and I often must look for it. Old Mr. Spicer sent a letter to my grandfather.
Yes.
That if they would send up a van at night, he would guarantee them hot bread. So this was a terror at the time, you know.
Yes.
So we went on from that. Then in 1953, my uncle, he opened his own bakery then, beside the home place in the town. So that was, he died, as I say, in 69. He was only 52 years of age. And I started then, in that September, October, November, I was up in Dublin working in Rowan's Bakery out in Rathmines.
Yes.
And then I went back up in February to Crosscones Bakery, which is basically in behind Mountjoy Jail.
Okay.
And I was there for 6 weeks. I came home one weekend and one of the lads was gone sick to hospital and I had to stay.
And that was it.
And I spent more time on the road then than I actually did baking.
Okay. And were you delivering the bread?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, out on the van, yeah. Yeah.
And when your uncle started the bakery, so he started then to bake Cully's bread?
Yes. Yeah, he did. He bought in an old man. He only died last year. He was called Tennyson Mills. He did World of History. But Tennyson said that he brought the first oven down from the docks in Dublin. And he said it was that long sitting at the docks that they had to pay more cartage on it, or whatever, his storage,
yes,
than what he actually cost to buy it beyond in England the first day.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. But Tennyson brought it down. And then after whatever number of years anyway, he bought a second oven and extended out.
Okay.
But that first oven could hold 34 dozen and 8 plain loaves.
34 dozen and 8 plain loaves.
So there's 13, that's the baker's dozen. Don't ask me why.
Yes.
It fits 13 across the plate this way.
Yes.
And then you had whatever number of rows that you'd have then.
And he would make the whole dough. And
Yeah, the whole lot was done there on site. Yeah, yeah.
Must have been fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we are still doing it the same way.
The same way?
The same slow mix and let it rest and all that. It's like, the plant bakers, and I have nothing against them, and some of my best friends are Pat the Bakers, and we have a great relationship. I would always stress that.
Yes.
But the plant bakers mix it in sort of maybe 2 or 3 minutes or something like that, and it's straight into the machines and onto the oven. Whereas we mix it for a half an hour slowly. We let it sit for at least a half an hour, maybe more, and let it ferment. It's called bulk fermentation.
Okay.
And I'd say it's the nearest thing to sourdough you get, because it's let rest and it's not rushed.
Okay.
You know. And then we put it through the machines, and then it rests again in another machine as it's gone round.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually then we put it on what we call skips. It's like a chest of drawers, and each of them holds 39 loaves. So you bring it up then, and there's two handles, and you walk up each side of the plate and slide it off onto the plate.
And how many loaves would you make in a day? Or?
Now, I suppose we'd be doing the guts of 100 dozen of plain loaves most days.
100 dozen, my God.
Yeah. And a lot of that goes out. Well, it used to be going out hot, but since COVID, it has to be all bagged now individually.
Yes.
And then we'd be doing about 30, maybe 50, 60 dozen of pans a day, like that. There's some days bigger than others.
I know, of course.
Like
I
Saturday now, Friday night, Saturday is a slow. They'd only be doing about 5 or 6 hours, but most of the other nights to be in 8 hours.
So it's a nighttime job.
Well, it's they start at 6 o'clock in the evening now, which is a lot better. So they're nearly they're finished at 1 or 2 o'clock. You know, the machines were old and the building was old and that. So then, about 2007, I think it was, we moved into a new site out beside my house.
Yes, I know where that is. That's just on the outskirts of Arve,
yeah,
isn't
just
it?
The outskirts, about a quarter of a mile out of the town, yes. Out from Brady's garage there. So we moved in there, I think it was about 2007, 86, 96. Oh, so yeah, 2007 we moved into it.
And Barney, do you see a big change in, suppose, with supermarkets and small shops and over the years?
Yeah, huge change, especially as you mentioned, the small shops. There's an area that I would often reference it, that if I went out to Leggett Chapel, which is only 4 miles out the road from me, I went round in a circle through Ballinamuck and Ahavas and back to Leggett Chapel, there was about 37 shops there, country shops, that are all gone.
37,
yeah. I could name them if we haven't time now.
Okay.
But they would have, but most of those shops would be taking 2, 3, 4 dozen of bread 3 times a week of us.
That's a big difference.
It is. That's the biggest miss I see on it, you know. But like that was part of the rural community, and you know, and all that, yeah. You know. But
there's a big change in the rural community, isn't there?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Like even in Arve itself, and as I say, I was 5 months out of it in my lifetime. There's a lot of people around Arve now that I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, there's people moving constantly in and out and in and out and. But yeah, it's a big change. But all rural Ireland, especially, is I think they're getting it hard. And banks close. Like we are two of the busiest banks in Ireland.
Yes.
Like, close to two of them on the Ulster and Bank of Ireland.
And what about your post office?
The post office. Cormac is doing the lodgements in the post office there now and all that. But at the same time, you know, the bank was bringing people into the town. Now, the post office still is. You know, when we have the credit union,
yes,
they have an ATM now as well. They got an ATM when the Bank of Ireland closed then. You know, so you have most of your services there.
And Barney, just in relation to setting up a business now and setting it up like when your uncle and your dad, there's vast differences, isn't there?
Well, sure. I mean, rules and regulations would be the first thing.
Yes,
health and safety, environmental health officer, thanks be to God, I get on well with them. We have no issues with them.
Yeah.
But no, when I was building it, I went to them actually. I asked them what they wanted and they said clean surfaces, easy to clean surfaces. And that's what we put in.
Okay.
You know, well, we put a paint on the floor, which costs a lot of money, but it'll be a lifetime job, and you could clean it with a shovel. Nearly as that, it's very easy to clean.
Yeah.
You know, wash it 3 or 4 times a week there and that. You know, if it's getting anywhere dirty or that,
yeah,
lady comes in there and does a few hours, and she does a lot of washing and cleaning around when the boys are finished. You know?
So see, that's essential. But
it is,
and yeah. I'm interested too, Barney, of course, because I know you've recently retired,
mm-hmm.
and how's that for you? How does to let go and.
Well, I've been trying to let go for the last 5 or 6 years, but it only really came to pass there about, well, probably the end of July, first week in August.
Yes.
Everything had to be done at the same time, so it went on into the first week of August. But no, I'm happy enough. I have long enough done at it, and my son has taken over, and it's time to let him make his own mistakes. He's kind of run it for the last 5 or 6 years anyway, you know. I have been taking a step back bit by bit.
So you're just, but you're there to help him and all of that.
Oh yeah, if he needs something,
him.
He's, you know, like he's away today and he rang me. He says, will you be about to do such a thing this evening? And I said, well, yeah, no problem. You know, and that's what you do, sure. Yeah.
That's invaluable,
you know,
to
it
him.
Is. Ah, it is,
it
yeah.
It is really invaluable.
You wouldn't just walk away altogether, you know. But.
And I suppose just to ask you too, in Arve, and I know that's now where you were born, reared, and lived the bulk of most of your life.
Yeah.
What are the most significant changes around Arve and that whole countryside?
Well, I suppose, as I said, the new people coming in would be the biggest thing I would see. You know, the demise of the pubs. Like when I was growing up, I think we counted 23 pubs in Arve. There's 4 now on the hotel.
Yes,
you know,
it's a big change.
It is a big change. And you could go into some of them during, some of them don't open actually until near the weekend. If you go into some of them pubs any night of the week, there'd be nearly nobody in them. Like it's a horrid change. Again, I have went in loads of times and I was only drinking water.
Yes.
And just go in for the crack, and that's what I'd be going in for.
Yeah.
And like, you know, but I don't know, that whole scene has changed, and
yeah.
You know, people are not going into the pubs as much, whether they're drinking at home or whether, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
That would be a big change I'd see in the town. Like.
It's a great, or I don't know, it's not great, but that community sense, you know, you say you went in for the crack. There is that sense of meeting people, you know, and just having a chat and bit of fun.
Oh yeah, sure, that's what it's all about, having a bit of slagging and a bit of cracking. There's a good friend of mine, he's not in great shape at the minute, but he was a great character, and he'd be slagging me about he was alone. But like you see, a lot of people with business in Arva are actually long for people.
That's, yes, okay, because of course you're very near there. Yeah.
Like, and the Longford, the people of Longford would do a lot of the shopping in Arve. And like, I remember back, was it in the 80s, we had a downturn in the economy. You know, mm-hmm. North Longford was always done the shopping in Arve, and they would have kept Arve going at that stage, yes. You know. Great, yeah. Great people out there. And like, but, well, Drumard won the senior championship in Longford on a number of occasions. Yes. And Arve's the town to come in and celebrate. Like, you know, it's amazing. You know.
So can I ask you to, your customer, how important is your customer to you?
Which your customer is everything. You know, if you don't have the customers, first of all, the shops, who I'd say the majority of them, I'm on first name terms, and they're more like friends than actually customers.
Yes.
But then the people that go in there and buy our bread, like, if it's up to them, if they weren't buying your bread, you'd have no business at all, you know.
No.
And like, if there comes in a complaint, which you will get now and again, but something goes wrong or something happens, and I would usually go out and see them, like, you can ring them and talk to them, but I think, you know, I think you owe it to them. Bread is dear now, and you can't afford to have people getting bad bread or that, you know. And we pride ourselves on the quality of what we do.
Yes. Know?
And we buy probably the strongest flour that you can get on the market.
Yes.
And we need that for our batch plain loaf. And then we only have the one silo, so it's the same flour goes into the pans, and people tell you that the pans are great and blah, 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 you know. And that's part of it. So, like, if somebody has a complaint, I like to go and deal with it, and I appreciate the fact that somebody would actually ring me and tell me that there was a complaint.
So customer care to you is really important.
Oh, very important, it is.
You lose a bit of that when you go into the bigger scale shops and that.
You possibly, we wouldn't be in any of the real big ones. Like, we'd be with, we'll say, the Super Value Centre, those ones.
Yes.
I never got involved with or tried to get into Dunn's or Aldi. Well, we did have a run with Aldi there with a nice cherry log. You know, but in general, no, we wouldn't. We'd have said more, we'll say, with the owner.
So your business is very personal based.
It is.
And you probably build on that.
Yeah. And as well as that, like, people say, oh, there's several people on me, why will you not come to Dublin? Like, we have a perishable product, if, I suppose, if you call it that.
Yes.
Like, you need to be getting it either today or surely getting it tomorrow.
Yes,
you
know, of course.
You get the full. So, I mean, if you're going up to Dublin and it doesn't sell, you have to go up and you have to take them out. Like, if they don't sell in the shops, that's the you know, that's the mantra or whatever that, you know, you have to change them.
Yes, yes.
So, like, it'd be a long drive up to Dublin. Ideally, I suppose, if you had somebody, which we have a lad up beside Dundalk that's doing another line of product, and he buys some of our bread twice a week, you know, and that's, in that way, like, you really want to be looking to an agent that would take it on. You know,
okay.
We have a couple of them that do that in different areas, you know.
I'm going to just ask you to, yourself, do you love bread or are you sick of it? The fact that you've been making so much, how do you feel about bread? And
I was actually visiting a neighbour there, an old man, about 6 months ago. And the fellow that lives next door to him come in and he started shouting, was he making tea? You know, this neighbour made the tea and he took out, your man had a plain loaf and he cut it and butted it. And that was the nicest thing ever I ate.
Yeah.
You know, I try not to eat too much of it myself. I'd go more for the soda bread.
Yes.
Because, as you can see, I have a slight weight problem. But I'd be, you know, but I mean, no, I would still love it. I'd love it.
And you know, in the bakery when you're making it, is there the smell of bacon and the ovens? Or how was that whole experience?
Oh yeah, you would. Like, when we were in town, I remember a young fellow, he actually worked for us, he was applying for a job, and he said that he lived up outside the town on a height, and he said he missed when we moved out the country because the smell of the bread used to waft up around the area, you know. I wouldn't, I suppose, maybe notice it as much now because I'm so used to it, I suppose, but you would, yeah, that, and sure, I mean, I think it was UCD done something for the Irish Bread Bakers Association, and the smell of fresh bread was,
yeah,
huge thing with people going into shops and that. And that was a big thing for us, that you put in six loaves and you put them into a big bag and left them out of it open so that it didn't sweat.
Sweat, yes.
And people walking into the shop would smell this and they were thrown to us straight away. You know?
Yeah, so that's a good marketing tip.
It is, but can't use it now since COVID,
no,
you know. But,
no.
Yeah.
Do you think bakers will continue? Will they survive?
I think if you have a quality product, and that's why we wouldn't, you know, go down the road of making cheap bread, we'll say. Like, there is a lot of it out there. And, like, you know, as I just say, we're not in competition with Patsy Baker because he's doing a different product than what we are doing.
Yeah. You know, so you're very sure of your product and you're committed to that product.
And I walked into a shop and I was talking to a lad, he was home from America and he was looking at soda bread. And it wasn't ours, he was looking at anyway at the time. And he says, gee, I guess I should be looking at your stuff. And this woman from the town turned around with two sliced pans and she said, it's the only bread that's worth buying.
Yeah, look at
and she didn't think she was, but it meant so much to me to hear that woman saying that, you know.
Yeah, and she didn't have to say that.
No, she didn't. No, because she wasn't in the conversation at all, you know. She just turned around and she says, it's the only bread that's worth buying. No.
And Barney, can I ask you, you know, I know, as I said, when we've talked about it, you're an Arva man true and true. Mm. What's your hope for Arva into the future, the community there, and how do you see it going forward?
Well, I would have to say that we have a great community. We get most of us get on, like everyone else. Most of us get on most of the time. If there's anything happening, you know, the community gets behind it. We've a very busy town.
Yes.
You know, we've a couple of great businesses there. We have Keith's to have a huge hardware store, centre shop in the centre of town. You know, you have several other supermarkets there, news agents. You have Brady's Garage. You have Ellis's Fresh Today. You know, you have all these businesses. But the hotel, of course, then, like for years when I was growing up, if you wanted to run a function, you had to go to some other town. The name and grade developed the hotel there and that. And, you know, I think the future is good and the future is bright for Arva, because as long as they keep going on, like, we done a big job on the on St. Patrick's Hall there a few years ago. We spent 630,000 and brought it back up to...
Yeah, I saw that is beautiful.
And there was a man from outside the town working with the contractor, and the floor was sagging.
Yes.
Beautiful maple floor. And he actually got in under it from breaking the wall at the side, and he got in his hunkers and built pods and put steel girder up on it. So the floor was never touched, because if you took out that maple floor, you'd never get back.
Yeah.
You know, he made a fantastic job of it. Like, you know,
that's brilliant. So the rural community in Arva is really still very, very strong.
Yeah, it is. Like, I you know, and I see other towns and that, and I feel that they're not doing near as well as our town. But people have to keep working on that and keep the customer happy.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying
to... That's come back to, absolutely, you know, what I said, like, if you keep the customers happy, they keep coming back to you.
Yeah, you know, that's great.
Like, and there's a great, I don't know, maybe we have Moyne Community School 3 miles out the road, and one year the All-Ireland Colleges B.
Yeah.
And on that team was 6 Cavan minors, 6 Longford minors and a Leitrim minor.
What you look at, that's, really, that's, and, you know, that says so much.
That's keeps, like, Carrigallen, that area, people from Carrigallen will come up to Arva as well, and that's South Leitrim, North Longford and ourselves there, you know, and... There's no, what would you call it, there's no divide. Like, when Leitrim won the Connacht Championship in 94, Arva was covered with Leitrim flags. Like,
yeah.
And, like, people up in other parts of the county wouldn't see that. They'd be totally against.
That's really, isn't it, Bernie? That's community at its best.
It is,
rural community at its best. Like, supporting each other, watching out for each other, you know, all that kind of thing.
Like, in 96, I remember in 97, I was PRO at the time with the county board. I had more requests from people in Longford and Leitrim looking for tickets to go to Dulster final, to go to support, to cheer on Cavan, like, and they were so genuine, you know.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's we have a sign up outside the town where the three provinces meet.
Yes.
Like, you have Carrigallen in Connacht, Longford in Leinster, and Cavan in Ulster, and there's just a wee spot outside the town where the three provinces actually hit in the corner of a lake, and it's, you know, but it's a huge community and great spirit in it, you know.
Yeah, it's lovely to hear. Bernie, what about your future now that you're a retired man and taking things well, maybe not taking things easy, I don't know. What's your hope for you?
Look, good health is the first thing, because without that you have nothing, and you've got all the money in the world is no good to you if you don't have your health. But I'd hope to be taking a few more bits of holidays and go to see places. I'm not a great man for going on sun holidays now. If I was at home, I'd probably be sitting inside when that sun's out there today. But, you know, there's places I'd love to go, like... One place that I've been looking at in years, but never just met, I'd love to go and see Iceland. I don't know why.
Okay.
I'd just love to see it. You know, and there's a few places, and there was a couple of lads, I go to Lourdes every year with the diocesan pilgrimage, and a few of us were talking about going out to Padre Pio's home place where he was born in San Gian Giovanni Rotonda. I'd have great dedication or commitment to Padre Pio.
Yes.
A lot of people would have great hope from that. And not that I'd be overly religious as such.
Yes.
But I have me bit of religion, as Father Darcy would say, a little bit of religion.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see it, you know, and a few things like that I would like to go and do now that I will have the time, you know, and it's just a matter of saying to Brian, look, just in case, I won't be about.
Yeah, and I think it's lovely to have plans like that.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful to you for sharing all you've shared with us here. And I really hope you get to see Iceland. And I really hope you get to travel to the other places. And yeah, a bit of fate is no harm for any of us.
It's not. But like, what do you have? What do you have to fall back on at the end of the day? You know what?
Yeah.
If you don't have a bit of fate, you know. And like, I have travelled. I was in Germany already this year. I'm going back to a bakery exhibition at the end of October. I'm going down to the Blas and Heron Awards. We have four items through in the Blas Awards down in Dingle at the end of this month. I'm going down there for three nights.
And Barney, you'll never be at home. Well, look, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your knowledge of Arva, your knowledge of setting up or being part of your uncle's business and your dad's business as a baker, bringing us on that journey. And now you've retired, and we wish you nothing but the very best, Barney.
Thank you very much, Sabina. Thank you. Appreciate your invitation to come in.
Thank you.
This has been a Cavan Heritage podcast. Thank you to everyone who gave their time to bring this piece to life. If you've enjoyed this episode of Where We Belong, please make sure to like, leave a review and share. You can subscribe to this podcast to keep up to date with all new episodes. Until next time, slán go fóill.